Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining us once again on My Sister, My Friend. Hope you've had a wonderful Monday, the start of this week, going into the second half of the month. We are glad to have you with us tonight. We have a special presentation, well, show tonight for you. First, I'd like to say hello to all of our partners, Pastor Richard Terry of the First Free Will Baptist Church and Pastor Michael Morgan of Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church and Dr. Carter of the Letter House in Los Angeles, California. We want to welcome you all tonight to our prayer session tonight. We felt that it's time because we all need to be in prayer. So we have our president, Beverly Veasley, on the line tonight, who will introduce us and get us started with our session. And then we'll have Minister Randall and anybody else who would like to call in and just give a word of prayer or have some comments or concerns that we'll be talking about tonight. So feel free to dial 310-982-4126. Good evening, Beverly. Good evening, Minister Randall.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
I heard you. I was waiting on Minister Randall.
Hey, man, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. And Beverly, you can go ahead and start us off with the conversation and lead into prayer.
All right. Thank you. Sandra and I were talking earlier today about something, and the Lord just dropped on us for his time to pray. And so I wanted to start it off by encouraging everyone, regardless of what things are happening around us, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. We have a little bit of fear because of all the violence that we're extending across the world, the violence next door, the violence down the street. But God still lives and he's still in control. So even though we're somewhat fearful of going outside of our house and sometimes fearful of staying in our houses, we have to stay prayerful. We can't allow the situations around us to make us fearful of man, of what man can do, because we have to remember that God's in control of all of this. Although sometimes when things happen, we get a little fearful and say, where is God? One of the questions that we have to ask ourselves as we go through this time of mourning, it's time of sadness, grief, despair, is why aren't we standing up? Standing together in prayer, why does it take really violent situations for us to come together and stand in prayer? That's something we should be doing on a daily basis, not when 5 or 3 or 10 policemen are killed. We should be standing together every day praying. We should be standing together getting prayer back in school. We should have stood together and refused to allow them to take prayer out of the schools. We should have stood together in prayer when the government steps inside the homes of families and tell them how they can and can't raise their children. When they took the jobs away from our men, and now they have nowhere to find jobs, some. And then some have lost the desire to even try and be men. They just want the easy way out. It's easier. It doesn't cost them as much work, much effort. They've given up. So we need to pray for our men, because our men are no longer raising their sons. They're letting the street raise them. You hear now about fathers and sons meeting together for the first time in their lives in prison. Mothers and daughters prostituting together on the street. Parents selling their children for money. We live in very sad times. And so it's time for us to not look at who's at fault, but it's time for us to pray and ask God to forgive us for our sins, for standing on the sidelines and letting things happen and just saying, oh, well, maybe they'll get it together. It's somebody else's problem. It's not mine. So when it all boils down to it, it's all of our problems that we've become so greedy, so selfish, refusal to obey God, children refusing to obey their parents, wives refusing to not obey their husbands, but to cooperate and work with their husbands, and husbands refusing to be fathers, husbands refusing to work, be a part of the church and lead their families, lead their communities. It's so sad that we have to take out our anger on others when it's really not one person's fault that we're sitting in the situation that we're sitting in. It's all of our faults. We don't step up and help each other anymore. People live in apartment buildings right next to each other and don't know the person's name next door. We're all responsible for this chaos that we're living in. And it's time for all of us to stand together and raise our hands and say, I'm guilty too. I didn't say anything to that young man. Maybe I could have changed his life. I didn't say anything to that young girl. Maybe could have changed her life. I didn't give that mother a helping hand when she needed some help coming down the street with her groceries. By the time she got home with her groceries, she was so angry, so tired, she took it out on her kids. You know, we have so many things that we have to pray about. I was trying to think of a scripture this evening. I was looking in the back for the word peace. And the Lord led me to a couple of scriptures. And maybe it might mean something to someone. I'm just going to read to you what he gave me. It was Jeremiah 6 and 14. And it said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's like we're trying to heal ourselves. This is what I'm taking from this. We try and come together for a few minutes on a tragic night when five policemen were killed. And we come together and we pray for peace. And the next day there's more harm. Three police are killed. There's no peace anywhere in our country or in our world. We're all fighting about something. Somewhere we're fighting. When we look at TV today, we look at the young people and the only thing they're concerned about is having a good time. They're not concerned about anything else in their life except having a good time. And then I happen to go on and I'm looking about peace. And it seems like we're so scared today to even go to the grocery store and say something to somebody because somebody might get mad because you looked at his wife or looked at her husband or something. You just almost live in a state of fear. And I was looking at something, and it was talking about, Lord said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what I will if it be already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how shall I be straightened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, or rather division. For from henceforth there shall be two, five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And that sounds like what we live in today, a divided country. Everybody's mad at everybody about something. We're all in a hurry to go nowhere. And we're just in one big chaotic mess. But Father God, we know that you are Alpha and Omega. We know that you created this earth. You created and shaped our eyes, our ears, our nose. You created us. And Father, we go through this situation that we're facing in our country and across the world. But we know that you have all the strength and all the power. And just with a word, a finger, you can change anything and everything. And Father God, we just come to you this evening asking that you give us a little peace in our hearts and in our mind and guide us and direct us on what we should do right now, how we can help somebody else today, how we can help one father, one son, one mother, one daughter have a little peace in their lives today and know that they shouldn't focus on the situation, but focus on you, because you can make the impossible possible. You can heal those that are sick. You've raised the dead. And Father, we just trust and believe, and we thank you. We thank you that we can come to you any time of the day or night. Any time when there's a need, we can call on you. We know that you said that you would be with us, that you would carry us, you would strengthen us, you would guide us, you would teach us. And more important than anything, Lord, we know that you'll love us. And Lord, as we go through this trial, these times in our country, in our cities, in our homes, Lord, we just ask that you stand with us, that you guide us and protect us and hold us and love us and teach us how to go through this, how to have peace in our hearts, and that we answer chaos with a word from you. We answer distress and misery with a word from you. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you, allowing Granny's Place to be ministry, to be something that you put your hand through. You designed it and you created it. And we thank you for allowing us to serve you, allowing us to help others that are in need. And Lord, we pray that something is said this week, some prayer will touch someone's heart. Someone that's angry and discouraged and distressed will turn to you and say, I'm going to try that praying thing. I'm going to pray to Jesus and see what he can do for me. And Lord, if we can just save one person, if one person will turn and change their life, if they'll seek your face, then we'll give you the glory, the honor, the praise all of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Beverly, for that prayer. I see we have some callers on the line that has joined us tonight. I would like to make a statement and say a few things, and then we'll allow you to go ahead and pray until Minister Randall gets ready. But we want you to feel free to say your prayer. But what I wanted to express tonight is that we are in a spiritual warfare. The devil is busy. He got all of his imps, his demons, his comrades, and everybody. He's everywhere. He's in everything. But God is able. And if we call on him, if we tell God about it, if we go ahead and confess our sins and ask him to forgive us, he'll heal the land. That's what 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them and their sins, and I will heal their land. God will heal us. God will heal the land. And that's what we have to pray. We have to pray daily about it, because if we don't do it, if we don't confront him, if we don't pray back his word to him, we won't get it. He won't do it. We got to ask him. We got to humbly go to him. We got to tell him what we need. Although he knows, he wants us to ask him. He wants us to tell him about it because he knows that we need him. But we got to ask first. He said we have not because we ask not. If we want this land to be healed, if we want the shootings to stop, if we want the racism to quit, we've got to humbly pray to him. Humbly. And give it to him. And try our best to not take it away and not take things into our own hands and just do the things that we need to do. So I'm going to give voice to anyone else who would like to offer up a prayer before I ask Minister Randall to come forward. So if anybody's on the line that want to pray, go ahead and feel free to pray at this time.
Yeah.
Do we have any prayers?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, how you doing? This is Mr. Henderson from Youth Gospel Association. I just got your email. I just called in to listen to your show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Would you like to offer up a prayer?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you want me to pray.
Yeah, go ahead. We're taking anybody tonight. Everybody. All prayer. We want to call on God. We want to stir up heaven tonight.
Sure. Well, Father God, we just ask you, we first want to say thank you, God, for letting us see a day, another day that was not promised. God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for our up, our rising, and our falling. God, we just want to thank you for the good and the bad. God, we just ask you, Lord, to give each person peace, Lord. Let everybody understand, God, that God, you're God and you see all and you know all, God. There's nothing that you don't know that happens in the earth that you don't know, God. Just give everyone the peace to understand, to be able to learn how to accept your will. In your son's name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that.
No problem.
How about, is that going to be 2395 extension, last four digits of your phone number? Would you like to have a prayer?
Good afternoon, or good evening, actually. This is Wanda McKinley. I just really want to give thanks. I'm trying to fight a cold, and I'm coughing. So it would not be good for me to start a prayer because I'm holding my breath right now. I just want to acknowledge that I'm here. I'm listening to the prayers, and I just thank God for what you all are doing. I thank God for the people that are taking the time out of their day to be on this call, to give thanks, to give glory, to give acknowledgement to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right, thank you. All right, is that, how about 0721, that was you, sir?
Yes, ma'am, I'm about ready to say my prayer.
Thank you. I'm just looking at my board here. I am waiting on more prayer. Call me at 310-982-4126. Those of you who are listening by cyberspace, feel free to call in and offer your prayer. Minister Randall, if you would like to say a few words while the callers are coming in, I'm looking at someone just joined me at 8207. Would you like to offer a word of prayer?
God bless you. Amen.
Oh, that is Minister Elder Jordan. Hi, Elder Jordan.
God bless
you. How are you? God bless you.
Excited about the Lord. Amen.
All right.
And yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. You can go ahead and say what you say.
Well, you asked me to offer up a word of prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
And amen, and I can certainly do that. Is there a certain request or certain
we're
points.
We're just petitioning heaven tonight. You can pray for whatever reason you want to pray or however you feel, however God leads you.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. We praise you tonight, God, and we just glorify you. We exalt you, God, and we thank you that you are God. You are our Father, Lord God. And, oh, God, we can come to you any time of the day, any time of the night, Father. Oh, God, that you are very present help. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God, that you are our very present help. You are our shield and our shelter. You are our protector and our guide. Father, we just lift up our voice unto you, and we just thank you for being Jehovah Nisi, our banner, for being, oh God, everything that we need you to be, my Father. And God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would, Father, just forgive us for our sins. And, oh God, cleanse us from anything that would separate us from your goodness and from your love. And, God, from your holiness that you are. We just thank you that you're faithful to do it if we would come, oh God, and repent, Lord God. So we come, Lord God, oh God, repenting of our sins and asking you to cleanse us, Lord God. And tonight, God, as this time has been set aside, oh God, for prayer to be offered up, God, we come in the name of Jesus, and we come joining our faith along with the others, oh God, that's coming in to pray, oh God, for whatever is on their hearts to pray for. God, you said if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, God, oh God, that we could speak to whatever mountain, God, that is before us. And the mountain has to be removed, Lord God. So, Father, I just thank you for great faith as we gather tonight, Lord God. Great faith to believe you for your word, Lord God. To believe you, oh God, for what seems to be impossible with man, God. It is not impossible with you. So, God, we just thank you tonight, Lord God. And we come, oh God, binding the enemy of fear, Lord God. Coming against the spirit of murder, Lord God, the spirit of death, Father, oh God, and we just thank you, Lord God, oh God, for you come that we would have life, God, and have it more abundantly. And we just thank you, Lord, that we trust in you tonight. We lean not to our own understanding, Father. We come acknowledging you to be greater than anything that the world wants to present. Oh, God, to be greater, oh, God, than any type of addiction or drugs or any kind of oppression and depression and suicidal spirits, Lord God. We know that you are greater and that at the name of Jesus, every demon has to bow, Lord God. And we just thank you tonight, Lord God, that we trust in you, and we thank you that you are our strength and our strong tower tonight, God. And we just come, Father, lifting up every family, my God, that's been affected, oh God, by this demon of death, this murderous demon that has been released, God. We just come lifting up every family that has been affected, Father. Oh, God, that you would comfort, that you would encourage, that you would bring forth healing, Lord God, to the brokenhearted, Lord God. That you would lift up the hand and wipe away the tears and put an encouraging word in their spirits and in their hearts, Lord God. And put the right people around them that can speak life and encourage them, oh, God, through these difficult times, God. We just thank you, Lord God, that, oh, God, with you, oh, God, we can know that it will be all right. So, God, we just come praying for that mother, my God, praying for that father, that, oh, God, that parent and that sibling, oh, God, that have lost a loved one on tonight, Lord God. For whatever the reason is, Lord God, we just, oh, God, come standing in the gap for them, God. Oh, God, to encourage them, oh, God, in this difficult time, Father. Oh, God, we just give you praise, Lord God, that we do not allow the spirit of fear to grip the body of Christ, Lord God. Oh, God, that we know, oh, God, that with you all things are possible. We know, Lord God, that you are our stronghold, our protector, our peace. You are everything that we need. So we come against the spirit of fear, and we thank you, Lord God, that our light will shine. Oh, God, we will declare and decree your word. We stand on your promises, and we've become to call things that are not as though they were, according to your word, oh God. And we just thank you, oh God, for the body of Christ rising up, God. We thank you for this time, oh God, for the warriors, Lord God, and the saints and the believers, oh God, to come together in one accord and call on the name of Jesus, my God. Oh God, covering us with the blood. God, you said where the blood is applied over the doorposts of the homes, oh God. Oh God, there we will find protection. So tonight, Father, we just apply the blood of Yeshua, God, over our vehicles, oh God, over our places of employment, Lord God. Oh God, over our homes and over our families and our loved ones, oh God, knowing, Lord God, that nothing can come through the blood. The blood, nothing can come through the blood of Jesus, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We have no fear, Lord God, for we trust in you. Abba, you are our Father. Oh, God, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Lord God. Your name, thy kingdom come, and your name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, oh, God. We pray tonight, Lord God, for every public official, Lord God, every public servant, Lord God, that serves in the cities and protecting our country, Lord God. We pray for police officers and sheriff, and we pray, oh God, for first responders. And Father, we pray for every military armed force that's protecting the four corners of our country, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, oh God, that this is the time that the saints need to come together and cry out, hallelujah. Oh God, that you would hear the cries of my people, my God, who've been called by my name, Lord God, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek your face, God, my God, your face, your heart, Lord God. Then we would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. So God, we just come asking you to hear us as we cry out to you, Lord God. And we thank you tonight, oh God, that our prayers are heard, that our prayers are received, that our prayers are covered in the blood. Oh God, we just thank you, Lord God. And for those, oh God, that are walking, oh God, with a spirit of infirmity, Lord God. Oh God, the report of the doctors is not yielding the report that they want to hear, Father. We know that you are a healer. We know that you are the way, oh God. We know that you are the medicine, Lord God. Oh God, so we come praying now for those, oh God, that are stricken in their bodies, oh God, with any form of cancer, any form of heart disease, oh God, any form of liver disease and kidney disease, Lord God. Oh God, any form of AIDS, oh God. Oh God, any form of HIV, oh God, any form of lupus, Lord God, any bone degenerative, oh God, disease, Lord God, high blood pressure tonight, Lord God. Oh God, we come on the name of Jesus, oh God, and we ask you to heal as only you know to do, my God. We thank you that your yoke is easy, your burdens are light, and you died that we can have life and have it more abundantly, Lord God. So Father, we come against every form of sickness, and we command these bodies to line up with the word, oh God, and we speak life over these bodies, and we speak deliverance over those that are struggling with addictions, and we say be set free, we say be made whole, we say give to the King of Kings, and give into the Lord of Lords, and be healed, and we thank you, God, for stepping into situations and turning things around for us, Father. We know you can do it, God. We ask you to do it in the name that is above every name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Right now, thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. God
Hallelujah.
Is good. Hallelujah. 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 Minister Henderson, are you there? Can you give us a prayer, baby? I know you say you don't feel well, but we want to hear from you.
Yes, and I'm here.
Okay.
Father God, we come to you with this. Thank you, Jesus. Declare and decree that you are Lord, and you are Lord over all in the name of Jesus. And not only Lord, you are exceeding great reward. And we know that in you and with you, nothing is impossible to those that believe. Father God, we thank you that we continue, because we choose to continue to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we will abide under the shadow of your Almighty. We thank you that we're in this place because you're in us, and we're in you, oh God. We just thank you right now that you are our strong tower. We can run in safety, God. We can find safety under your wings. You say you long to gather us as your chicks, but you won't let us. But we let you on tonight, God. We run in and we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. We thank you for being our provider, our healer, our waymaker, our peace on tonight, huh? That when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him in the name of Jesus. Ooh, you said the many afflictions, David said the many afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord deliver us out of them all, God. Deliver tonight, God. In the name of Jesus. Deliver everyone that's on this line. Deliver. As we take our others before us, God. We lift up the criminal justice system. We lift up the bereaved, and we lift up the sick and the shut-in on tonight. We ask you to move by the Spirit, oh God. You say it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. So God, we thank you. That even when it looks like we can't trace you, no, we trust you. Lord, we trust you on tonight. We trust you on tonight. We trust you on tonight. Oh, we lift the hills from which coming our way. And we know all our help, it only comes from you, Lord God. And we say thank you in advance. We thank you that what the enemy did for bad, that you've already taken it and turned it around for our good. We thank you that no weapon that has been formed against us will prosper.
Thank you, Lord.
Service of the Most High God, and this is our heritage. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We just thank you on tonight. And if you've been being boy or girl that's on this line tonight, move up in the household, move in the marriage, move in the job, move in the business, move in the ministry, their finances, oh God, move in our minds, move in our hearts, that we will see it through so that your word may transform us by the renewing of our peace. If we stay prayed up and stay in our word and continue to worship, that you would continue to give us answers on what you would have us to do. God,
thank
we thank you,
Father. You
for granted place and my sister, my friend on tonight. Bless. As only you can do in the mighty name of Jesus. We say hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Holy.
Glory to your name tonight, God. Glory to your name tonight, God. All right. Minister Randall, it's on you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Lewis.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank God for Sister Beverly and Graham's place and just see how God led upon our heart to bring us together on tonight in prayer and all the sons and daughters of the men and women of God that have come before the throne on tonight, going before our Father, just to seek him for direction and ask him to work out the situations in our lives. And so we just honor God today. We thank God today for everything that he's doing. And Sister LaChandra, Sister Beverly, I do thank God for all the prayers. And there's so many questions that everyone has about prayer and things working. And we have a tendency to think that we're waiting on God, but the reality is we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Who is us? Who are called by his name.
the men and women of God that are on this line today. God has called you to do a work. He gave you a burden, and because there was a problem, and there was, you are the solution to that problem. But we cannot be those two solutions until we're willing to step out and do what God has called us to do. And so this is the first step tonight, getting out of our comfort zone. At the very last minute, agenda being thrown out and said, men and women of God, let's come and let's pray. And that is what God is calling us to do. He's looking for us to break tradition and the normal things that we do, because you have to understand, the things that are going on around us are not traditional things. They're not normal things. And these things that we're attacking now are those things and falling in the category of these things only come by fasting and praying. So this is not one of those things that we can say, you know, the blood covered me and just all the cliche things that we say that will be an answer to this, but this is going to take faith, and our faith will be put in action. So God is calling on tonight. He is calling us to active duty. We can no longer sit back in reserve. We can no longer sit back waiting for someone to do something or start off the movement. Yes. But he's calling us to active duty because this world needs us. The whole entire world needs us. And so we have to pray in faith. We have to pray believing that God would do just what he said, what we do, and not doubting. Yes. And after that faith come in, which is the pursuit. Faith is the persuasion, conviction or persuasion to believe that God's word is true. And after we believe that God's word is true, we have to start speaking those things back into our life, speaking those things over our community, speaking those things over this world, and just sit back and watch God do what he said he would do if we just have the faith and get up and start doing the thing that God has called us to do. In the book of Luke, a very familiar scripture, it talks about the woman with the issue of blood. And they said she had it for a very, very long time. And some of those things now that's in the media, we're acting like these things just popped out yesterday because it happened in our very own city. But we have to understand that these things have been taking place for hundreds of years, thousands of years. This is not something new. This is not something that just happened. But it's close to home now, so everyone's views about the situation is a lot different. But the reality is this is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. These things happen across the world, but now it's hit our neighborhood. So now that it's hit our neighborhood, it's brought a certain level of attention. But the woman with the issue of blood, she had the situation for a very long time. And the things that we're faced with are some things that have been going on for a very long time. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that it's time, it's enough is enough. That the enemy has crossed the line and he's went too far. In order for us to take the victory and for us to walk in victory, now we have to do extreme things. If we're looking for extreme results, God is calling us through extreme sacrifice. And who's willing to make a sacrifice? Who's willing to step out of their comfort zone? Who's willing to get out of religion? Who's willing to get out of tradition and stand on the front line and do what God has called you to do and be what God called you to be and go where God calls you to go? And that's what it's all about. But this woman, she had this issue of blood for a very, very long time. The Bible said that she had spent all that she had, but she heard that Jesus was passing through. So she was convicted and persuaded to believe that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, and I want to repeat that again, she just heard Jesus was passing through. She didn't know if it was a rumor. She didn't know if someone was just talking, but she simply heard that Jesus was passing through. And so she was convicted and persuaded to believe that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that her life would change, that she would be made whole. So what did she do after that? She was convicted. She was persuaded. She didn't sit around waiting saying, I don't have a ride. She didn't say that was too far to walk. She didn't say, I didn't have any gas money. She didn't say, this gas got to take me to work the next day. But she put forth her corresponding action, and she risked her life to press her way through the crowd to get to her healing, to get through her deliverance. And God is calling everyone on this line today that we're saying that we've been called by God to do a work. We say that we've been called by God for a mission. We say that we were picked. Some say we were chosen, and we're God's chosen people. And who's willing to press their way through the crowd? Press our way through the crowd. Who's willing to go through the front line? Or are we worried about what people are going to say and how they're going to look at us, and this is not traditional and this is a little weird? But God is calling for the unusually gifted to get up and get out and do what God told us to do. And I want to just let you know today, men and women of God, all this cannot transpire behind the four walls of our beautiful churches. It may not take place behind the stained glasses, but there is a whole world that would never step their foot in the church, and they need us to get up and get out on the field, active duty, declaring the things that God has told you to do. That's the answer. That's the answer. Everyone's saying, what is the answer? The answer is you, me, those who are called, those who are chosen to forget about all the protocols, forget about agendas, forget about what you learned in YPWW, forget about what you learned at DTU, and you need a real right now word, revelation from God to go out in the field that God has called you to work in. And everybody's field is different. But until we accept who we are in Christ, and are bold enough to walk in the uniqueness that God has put in us as men and women of God, bold enough to accept that, yeah, we are a little bit weird, my approach is a little bit different, then this whole world will continue in the way that it's going. So the answer to our call on tonight, the answer to all the things that we prayed before God on tonight, the answer is, everyone on this line, you are the answer. We are the answer. We are the answer. And it's time to get up. It's time to get out. It's time to stop making excuses because the world is dying. There's so many things going on. And, again, it's not new. But when it hits home, yeah, it does touch on a different whole feeling when it hits home. But God is saying, who's willing? Who have you been given the authority to speak into certain situations? God is dealing with us. He's told you this is your assignment. These are the people that you are anointed to bring in. The church people that are sitting in church on Sundays are normally not the ones that are setting bombs and shooting up places. It's normally not. It could happen, but it's normally not. So is the need behind the four walls, or is the need really the world? So what is your world today? Is your world street ministry? Is your world youth ministry? Is your world prison ministry? Is your world to go into the strip club? Is your world to go into the drug-infested neighborhood? What world did God authorize you to go into to be that light, to change the things, to be that authority, to exercise the power that was given to you as a believer? He said in his word that great work that he did, but greater work shall we do. Who's ready to go out and do the greater work? Or do we just want to have faith with no action? Because faith with no action is dead. It produces nothing. And we have enough of nothing produced. It's time to produce something. Not only something, but it's time to produce something that is life-changing, generational-changing, community-changing, world-changing. If two or more come in my name, touching and agreeing, they can ask anything in my name. And he said that he will do it. So tonight we come to the call, touching and agreeing, believing, and putting forth our corresponding action. So when we hang up, we can't grab Haagen-Dazs and get in the bed. When we hang up, we can't turn on the Real Housewives of Atlanta and think that that's what it's all about. But when we get off this call, there's still more work to do. And until we are doing the work, we can't complain about the problem. Beyonce was in Forbes magazine saying that she is the hardest working person that she knows. Why can't we be saying that we're the hardest working people that anyone knows? Why aren't we in Forbes magazine? Declaring the word of God, declaring our faith, sharing our faith, but also putting forward our corresponding action. And if we're not doing that, I can tell you tonight that we begin making a declaration to be the answer, to answer the call. And when God calls us this time, men and women of God, let's stay in his presence long enough to get direction, to get instruction, so he can send us into the world that we have been authorized to go in and to save and be the light for. The unfortunate thing, those who are normally brave enough to go out there and fight on the front line are those who were called, but they didn't stay in God's presence long enough to get what they needed to be effective in the world. So God is calling us. Let's get his presence. Let's hear clearly. Let's wait on direction, so we can get up and go out and do and be what this, your community, your world, what you've been assigned to, needs? What prayer watch has God called you to? When he wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, are you warming up your chicken and eating it, or are you going before God and say, God, what did you wake me up for? What should I be doing? What should I be praying for? When he tells you to intercede, do you intercede while we're watching TV, but we're praying and watching TV at the same time, and that won't work because he needs us in his presence. He needs all of our attention so we can hear from him. We are the answer. Look no further. We are the answer. We are the answer, and it starts here. You are the answer. We are the answers. Those who are called are the answers. And Father, we thank you on this night just for being God. And we go to him as Father because he is our Father. And because he is our Father, we don't have to beg him. We just have to simply say what we need to be done. Because he is our Father. And there's no good thing that your Father would withhold from you. There's no good thing that he withholds. His word says it. We just speak his word in our life. Declare God's word over our life. And just start moving and operating in it. Start knocking down the barriers. Begin to walk on waters. Let God lead you where your faith is no longer with borders. Take the limit off God because we serve an unlimited God. There's absolutely nothing that he cannot do. And guess what? There's nothing good that he does not want to do because his word clearly says that everything that he wants to do for us is good. And it's for his glory, but for our good. So he wants to work good. He wants peace in our neighborhoods. He wants peace in our home. He wants us to be rightfully aligned and positioned so that we can be what God called us to be. So that we can declare today to God that, Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is the kingdom going to come on earth as it is in heaven? How is it going to come? Are we warring? Are we fighting for what's rightfully ours? Are we standing firm on the right for God's word? Are we in position to be what God told us to be? Are we letting that rules over us lead us? Have we submitted to our authorities over our life? How we answer those questions gives us the answer to the call, the things we pray for. And again, he's not waiting. We're not waiting on God because whatever he has for our life has already been declared in heaven. I don't care if you're one. I don't care if you're 100. He's not still writing your story. Your story is written, and it's already been declared in heaven. We just have to connect and have it released. You don't have to wait to heaven to get it. If we position ourselves, stay in the word of God, walk by faith and not by sight, and put with that our corresponding actions and watch God change things. Watch things start to move and shift in your life. Create a need, and God would answer it. Create a need for God, because he said he'll supply every need. Are we creating a need? What is the need tonight? Because if you don't have a need, what are we praying for? Create a need so God can show up and be God, so he can show who he is and manifest himself in our life. Do we really believe? Because faith is not just believing. It goes a little bit further than that. We got to do more than believe. So, Sister Chandra,
yes.
And Sister Beverly, we thank you for your courage, your strength to persevere, to hear, position yourself to hear what God is saying, and break status quo. Break tradition and call the city of Dallas and everyone else that's calling in for every state, ministries and leaders and pastors and workers and laborers to come before the throne of God. And I wouldn't dare waste this opportunity to be touched with a body of believers and not ask God for something big.
Yes. Yes.
We are positioned tonight to have him answer something really big.
Yes.
To have him provide something really big. Because we're together, touching as agreeing. And he said, anything that we ask, he said he would do it. So tonight, I would start asking. I would start asking. I would take the limits off, and I would start asking for God exactly. Because he said he would do exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. And I have a very vivid imagination. I think really big. So if our God, our Father, can do bigger than what my mind thinks, oh, wow, he is an awesome God. So why don't you trust him tonight with those big things? But take out a big request for God.
Yes.
Instead of 100 seats, asking for a 6,000-seat sanctuary. try God. Try him now and see. Will he not be the God that he said his word says he is? Will he not answer? Will he not show up? Will he not do what he said he would do? Because we have humbled ourselves and we pray and we sought the Lord.
Yes.
And in a time of trouble, we seek the Lord and the Lord answers. We don't turn to any other thing that can't help us. When we were studying the Bible in the Old Testament, every time difficulties came, every time famine came, every time trials, tribulations came, they didn't reach out to their girlfriends. They didn't reach out to their homeboys. But every prophet, they said he turned his face to the wall. He sought the Lord. He went before God. And so tonight, we go before God, and we look to him who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we declare that anything that we pray tonight, it is already done.
Done. Yes.
We're just aligning ourselves up to receive. It's already done.
Yes.
It's already done. It's already done.
It's already
God
done.
God bless you, LaChandra. We thank God for you on tonight. Again, your severity. We thank God for all the ministers that's on the line tonight, all the pastors are on the line tonight. We thank God for the ministry that I serve in the Atlanta House. We thank God for Dr. Carter and all those who are praying, that are teaching us, who are giving us the word, to teach us how to position ourselves to hear the Lord on tonight. And we declare tonight that every prayer that has been prayed, there was nothing hindering it. And if there's any principality that can't get any prayer, that the angels of the Lord will release, and they are warring now. They are warring now for every prayer that God is releasing, for every answer God is releasing, that the enemy is trying to stop from getting to us. He's dispatching his angels now. They are warring for you, men of God. They are warring for you, women of God.
This
will no longer be delayed. If we just position ourselves to receive, walk in obedience, walk in humility, servitude, just position ourselves to receive. So God bless you, woman of God. I thank God for the opportunity on tonight. Now, you asked me to share this is what I'm hearing God say. So I just wanted to share and encourage us as we walk through this walk, to walk in faith.
Yes.
And to take the limits off of God and don't walk in fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We have nothing to be afraid about. We have all the answers, and we have the power and the authority to speak into our life. And whatever we speak will start to follow us. We are a magnet for whatever we speak. Faith speaks what it believes. If we start declaring what we believe, those very things will start following us. If we declare peace, peace will follow us. If we declare prosperity, prosperity will begin to follow us. If we declare faith, faith begins to follow us. If we declare healing, healing begins to follow us.
Yes.
Whatever we speak, whatever you declare is your life. Whatever you say, whatever you believe, that's what's going to follow us. If you say fear, fear will follow you. If you say defeated, defeat will follow you. Wherever your mind speaks. And I speak life tonight. For the city of Dallas and every city across the world, we speak life on tonight. And at this time, we're going to give it back into your hands. So I just want to thank God for you again and for Sister Beverly. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. God bless you. We thank you, Minister Randall, for that inspiring talk tonight that gives us something to think about and to pray on and to ask God for. Whatever your heart is desirous of, whatever you want to do in your ministry, whatever you want God to do for you, speak it. Ask him. He'll do it. Take Minister Randall's word. Think big. Ask big. Because he can do it. He is a God that is big. He can do miraculous things, things that you didn't even think could happen. Give you things that you didn't even think you were worthy of. He can do that. He's a God. He's God. He's God. So if there's not anyone else there that would like to lead us in a word of prayer tonight, I hear Dr. Carter is on the line. Dr. Carter, would you like to have some words or pray?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm exceptionally well. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. I was blessed by all that I heard tonight and all of those that shared from their hearts and even prayed from their hearts. And I'm just very thankful that this type of ministry is going forth. I believe that it is vitally necessary, amen, that the people of God's voices are heard, especially at a time as now, where there really is not much, amen, uncovering or revealing our revelation that is coming forth. Most of it is more metaphoric. But as far as the uncovering and the revealing of what God is doing and in the matter, because again, when we look at the things that are happening in the world, we see its devastation. But what I don't see enough representation as it relates to the body of believers making the name of God known, not only at such a time as this, but at any other time. And one of the root causes I see, Sister Chandra, of is primarily what I see as issue is that I don't see any vision. I don't see any vision. And when I say vision, again, I'm not talking about a good idea. And so primarily what we call a vision, is it really a vision? It's a good idea. Or some comprising of the thoughts of men that came out of the psyche, which comes out of the emotion, in which they decided to do something one day, and they said that was going to be the be-all to it all. But the reality is, when we're talking about vision, Habakkuk says, the Lord, and he said, first of all, he talked about where he talks in chapter 2 where he says, write the vision, make it plain, so he who reads it can run with it, though it tarries, wait for it. He talks about it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass because it's for an appointed time. An appointed time. Wisdom says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. There's a time for every purpose. It is a time for it. And so there's a time for the purpose. Well, actually, it's the purpose. He said there's a time for, he says every purpose has a time. Literally, every time frame, God has a purpose for that time, or he has time for purpose. He has designated certain things to do in time because he's a God that lives outside of time, and therefore, when time offers up its life's issues, problems, and what Habakkuk refers to in verse 1 of Habakkuk 1, he says, the burden of the prophet Habakkuk. And he says the burden before he starts talking about right division and making it plain. Because reality is the vision is the answer to the burden. Mm-hmm. And so God allows us as men of God, women of God, to feel the burden. And the reason he allows us to feel the burden is because we're connected to God in such a way in which others are not connected to God in such a way. And God says this. He says to Habakkuk when the prophet is, the Bible says the burden of the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 1 of Habakkuk. Y'all have to pardon me. I don't have my Bible in front of me, but I'm very knowledgeable about what's going on here. He begins to pray after that, after he declares the burden of the prophet Habakkuk, and he begins to pray after he is complaining or actually explaining all the stuff that's going on amongst Israel, amongst God's people. Okay? And he's complaining to God. And so now his complaint, he's complaining because he's burdened. And I don't know if you've ever been burdened about something. When you're actually in a state of confusion about it, you usually complain. That's why you're complaining, because you're in confusion. and you don't really have it. You're complaining because you don't have the answer. That's why you're confused, because I don't have the answer, so I start complaining. And so literally what happens is after I get done complaining in realizing that God is not answering my complaint, that I have to now stop praying. Because this burden has become so much that it's wearing me out now. And so now you go to God, and you go to God vehemently, passionately, aggressively. Watch me here. Intimately. And that level of intimacy with God, which is real worship, it causes an exchange between God and his people, or God and his man, God and his woman, that God is now beginning to explain to you some things that you need to know in order for you to become and do the things that he's actually trying to assign you, or watch me here, vision you to do. Because true vision is not only answer, and I say it is answer because notice what he says in Habakkuk. He says in chapter 2, he says, I'm going to stand my watch to see what the Lord, or stand on the rampart, one version says, to see what the Lord says to me. And when he, and when I am corrected, the Lord answered me and said. The Lord answered me and said. I sought the Lord and I found him. He answered me and said.
Yes.
Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. Wait a minute. What am I going to do? I'm going to show you. I'm going to reveal something to you that you need to know in order for you to become what it is that I need you to become in such a time like this, because you are in a purpose that has been designated in this time. And if you don't understand your purpose in this time, then you'll be calling on the Lord to move on the choir. Lord, lift up the deacons. And we can't understand why we got such why we have such burdens. Well, we have such burdens because, again, he is not addressing the world. He is dealing with the state and the condition of the church. Habakkuk is praying about the people of God, and he's burdened by them. Because the Bible says this. He says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few.
All
right. With the laborers, we don't have no laborers. We got a lot of people attending our services, but we ain't got nobody equipped to go get nothing, do nothing, change nothing. And so how do you know? Because we're still trying to get the Lord build the deacon up. Lord build the ushers up. Lord build the deeds up. We still got to tell them for the first 45 minutes, first hour and a half of service, that, look, it's going to be all right. You understand what I'm saying? That's the first hour and a half of your service. It's going to be all right. Then you close the door. Then you come back the next week, and then you done did this for 45 years. All I know is it's going to be all right. Well, when is it going to be right? You know what I'm saying? I once was young, but now I'm old. When is it going to be right? Because it, to ask that question is to challenge the very essence of the problem, and that is where we are, as the leaders and headship of the house of God. We still trying to get all right. And again, the least of our problems is our sin. Because again, our problem is our relationship with God. And because we don't have no relationship with God, no relationship, and because our relationships have been products of something that has been passed down to us. Matter of fact, most of the messages that most people preach are messages that are comprised of information they got from somebody else, they got from somebody else, they got from somebody else, they got from somebody else who couldn't even read. And then we bring in a message that has been rehearsed from all the way back from the 1950s, and now we're in a new millennium. And we still telling people to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and we can't be honest enough to say, I don't even know what God's hand is right now. So I'm telling you to do something, but I don't even know how to do that myself. And so I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the house. I can tell you what's going on. What's going on? What's going on is it's not enough people burdened enough about what's going on that they would seek the Lord and stop seeking to be understood, to be liked, to be whatever. Now, I'm not saying don't start no fights, because you will use wisdom, amen, when you're going to do something pronouncing God. However, what I am saying is this, is that true vision is the redemptive revelation of the mind of God, or the disclosure of the mind of God, or the revealed knowledge of the Father provided and given to somebody, a man or a woman. When God releases vision, he does not release visions to board, committees, trustees, or deacons. He gives vision to one woman or one man that have been set apart, which is to be consecrated or sanctified holy for God's usage. So much so that he separates him and takes him on the backside of the desert, and he gives him information about his life, calling, and destiny, his assignment, which came from isolation in this moment of intimacy where there's isolation. So therefore there is elevation because there is revelation, and soon after there's going to be manifestation because there's been a lot of supplicating in that place, a lot of relationship in that place. And you get to the point where you say, okay, I got to be honest. This ain't working. It takes us, 5 years to raise the money to get the pews in the church. And then we have nerve talking about we're going to go up and challenge Congress. Challenge them with what? Because we don't believe yet that his kingdom could come and his will could be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And last I checked, heaven is the coldest place on the earth, and I don't mean freezing. I'm talking about it, man, nice. And he said he wanted us to have that here on earth, and he wanted to bring it down. So we got to change, and we got to make some adjustments. And so our message has been this. Our message has been, hold on to God's unchanging hand until you die and go to heaven. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show up every week to my Sunday morning matinee, and I'm going to pay my dues. Really what I'm doing, I'm going to pay my layaway, my installment on my heaven plan to make sure that I'm going to get there. So I attend church. And so what happens is this. I'm really trying to get to heaven. And we teach songs like heaven is my home, my goal. That's my home, my goal. And so my whole day-to-day life has become trying to just get there. When the reality is, the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and received the adoption of his Spirit, and where I became his son, he became my father. There has been a legal exchange based upon his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, in which there has been admissible evidence in the court of heaven by blood that has declared me as the righteousness of God, not just in heaven, but on earth. And I have been made the righteousness of God on earth because of what he has done that has been registered in the heavens.
Amen.
And I had the nerve to believe that message one day in my heart, and I confessed it with my mouth, and then I just had to believe that I was saved. Which leads me to believe that heaven is my home. So if I got saved 30 years ago, if I passed away a day after my salvation, heaven was my home. If I didn't get a chance to attend Sunday school, if I didn't get a chance to go to another revival, if I didn't get a chance to go to shut-in, if I didn't get a chance to do none of that, heaven was my home. Likewise, 30 years later, heaven is still my home. Why? Because of the confession that I made based upon the belief that was in my heart. The Bible says that I am saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. This is not of works, that any man should boast. No man is going to get there because of his works. He's going to get there, amen, because he believed in his heart, amen. He confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now walking a life of total deliverance, rescue, salvation, completion, renewal, elevation, restoration. I mean, he got it going on just from that one conviction. But why is it now, what is God trying to do? God is trying to take us, man, from glory to glory, faith to faith, by getting us to understand that it is not our job, once we make that confession, to get to heaven. It is not our job to get him get to heaven. It is our job now to get heaven to earth. Because he said, now I'm leaving you on the planet so that you will pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. He said, my seeds are going to bruise the head of that serpent. He said, his people shall declare the word of the Lord. His people shall do this on the earth. They shall rule here because they're going to know so much about their God. The Bible says that the people that know their God should do great exploits. He says, because they know him so well. The Bible says that Moses and people of God, he said that the people of God saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. In other words, Moses knew how to get God to do stuff, but the people only saw him do stuff. Likewise, the people see us do stuff in the pulpit that they don't know how to do when they go home on Sunday, on Monday. When the reality is this, Romans says that how shall they preach unless they've been sent? And I get that. But what they don't understand, and again, because most preachers wasn't sent, they just went. They just went on their way. They got a little license, and they just went. They then found somebody online, or when they got mad enough, they got rebellious enough, left the church they was at, and found somebody that would move them up the ladder as quick as that they wanted to, not trusting the process in God, not trusting. And the reason, and so they have become the problem because they didn't go through the process, so now we're in a place that we are assumed to have power, and we ain't got no power because we ain't been processed. And the Bible calls them illegitimate children. They're illegitimate. Did you not know that every true man or woman of God, that you can trace his spiritual lineage all the way back to the Apostle Peter? And that it is imperative for you to know this? And not only know this, but walk in this standard of humility so that you don't lose your mind when you start getting up and you got a few people following you now, Doc? Because we believe that because we got 500 people following us, 1,500 people following us, 3,000 people following us, 4,000 people following us. We got churches in L.A. We got networks across the country that now we don't have to be submitted to nothing. The devil is a liar because, again, you can't have authority or be an authority if you ain't under authority. And Jesus said this. Jesus said to John, who he was more gifted than, he was more special than, he was the Son of God. But he understood that don't mean a amount of nothing on earth unless you are submitted to someone. Because, again, the only way he could be on earth expressing himself is if he came in through the law of entry, which was he had to come through a physical body. He had to submit. Jesus, he's Jesus, and he had to submit. He said, John, I know you're not worthy to latch my shoelaces and all that other stuff, but check this out. This has nothing to do with that right now. And I know your religion wants to follow all the little protocol and the rules and the order, but let me tell you about the order that the Father has established. He says, permit it to be so now that you baptize me so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. Righteousness is to be in right standing with God. He said, permit this to be so that I be in right standing with God. Because if you don't baptize me, in other words, if you don't let me humble myself, because I understand that you are the God, you are John the Baptist, who came preparing the way, shouting in the wilderness, opening up the doors so that I can show up here. Now, I know I'm more gifted, and I know I'm more talented, but that's what's wrong with the church now, and that's why I don't have any power, because we got too many pulpiteers, too many clowns, too many show-offs, and ain't got no real power. And we think power is yelling and screaming and being who can be the loudest. When the reality is the people still leaving there sad. People still leaving there confused. People still leaving there broke. People still leaving there being evicted. People still leaving there like that. And the world is just advancing all around them. Because we ain't found nobody that we submit to yet. and walk under in order. Jesus said, I'm more gifted, but allow it to be so for now, so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. And then the Holy Spirit showed up and filled him. Prior to that, Jesus is 30, and he hadn't performed not one miracle. He ain't ran one revival. He didn't have one meeting. He didn't try to do nothing, because he understood what it took to get true, not just ordination papers, but true authorization, permission to rock on the rule and the authority of heaven, so that when you come across a strait, when you come to a Red Sea, you can stretch what God gave you and watch that sea open up. And the enemies you see today, you'll see no more forever. And millions of people will be rescued and saved because of the anointing and the gifting that was in one man's hand.
Amen.
That took the time out to humble himself. Humbled himself. Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. Humbled himself.
Right.
I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying tonight. Humble yourself.
Amen. Pastor, we're going to have to...
yes, I'm sorry. Go.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you again. I'm sorry. You know,
it's good. It's good.
God bless you.
It's all good. We thank you for those words, and we ask that you, I know
Amen.
You can't do it tomorrow night, but we will be back all this week, and we would like for you to come back one night this week, and we'll give you time to go ahead and finish. We appreciate you. We love you, and thank you so very much. For that.
Love you too. Definitely.
All right. And would you ahead and close out with prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Again, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Oh, I love you so much. You know that. You know that.
All right.
Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for this opportunity and this privilege. Bless us all today. Move upon our nation. Ministering angels, warring angels, God's angels, do what we cannot do, be what we cannot be, and go where we cannot go. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer, we thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, though the love God says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you again, Minister Randall. Thank you again, Beverly, for hosting our show and giving us this idea for continued prayer. And we will be doing this all week long. So those of y'all that are still with us, please join us again on tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. So God bless you all. Have a good evening. We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.